Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, we'll read verses 49 through 51 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 49 through 51. First Samuel 17, verses 49 through 51. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Let's finish on verse 51 together. Ready? Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, the world looks at a church and often thinks how boring it is, and yet we've had a wonderful time. Lord, tomorrow when we wake up, we won't regret the fact that we had a good time in church tonight. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'd calm our hearts. May we focus our mind on the preaching of the Word of God. Use the man of God to drive the truth deeply into our hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, the title of the sermon is this: The Little Giants That Help Us to Defeat the Big Giants. The Little Giants That Help Us to Defeat the Big Giants. I'll ask us to do this. If you're not used to being in church on a Sunday night, I want everybody to still themselves. Right now, nobody should be talking. Everybody should be settling in, very, very quiet. You'll only slip out if it's an emergency. Make sure your cell phones are off. Parents, make sure that the little ones pay close attention. We've had some fun this evening, for which I'm grateful. Now it's time to settle ourselves and let the Word of God make a difference in our lives. The title, The Little Giants That Help Us to Defeat the Big Ones. This is one of the best known stories in the entire Bible. This wonderful story of David and Goliath. I want to retell the story because we've heard it time and time again, but it will help us tonight to be reminded of how David conquered this giant named Goliath. But the one thing I want to point out tonight, it's not the conquering of Goliath that is my primary interest. It is that David had to conquer some little giants so that he could get to the big battle that God had for him. Here's the story. The Philistines were giant people. They were the enemies of God, and they were the enemies of God's people. The Philistines stood on a mountainside, and they were mocking God, and they were mocking God's army. The Philistines had a champion. The champion of the Philistines' name was Goliath. He was over 9 feet tall. I believe he was about 9 foot, 9 inches tall. He was a powerhouse. He was the evil champion. He had been proven in battle, and he was every bit what you'd call a battle machine. He was the meanest of the mean. He was the roughest of the rough and the toughest of the tough. David's three brothers were in God's army, and they were at this battle scene. So here you have the enemy on a mountainside, and they've got their champion named Goliath. And David's brothers are there. God's army is there. This champion of the Philistines is mocking God's army. Now, David, though, little David, he was probably an older teenager maybe at this time. He's at home. He's not a part of the battle. He's at home attending to the farm. David's dad, Jesse, calls David in and says, "David, your brothers are at battle. That giant Goliath is there. The enemy of God is there. Your brothers are off at battle. David, I'm going to ask you to take lunch to the army." David gets up early in the morning, the Bible says, and he prepares for his food delivery of the day. David arrives at the battle site and he sees this big goon Goliath yelling and screaming at God's army. Nobody was doing anything about it. They were fearful of this fellow by the name of Goliath. Now, David came to bring a little bit of food. That's all he came to do. Now he hears this great big fella, the enemy of God, mocking and cursing God and God's army. David makes a statement that went down in history. David said, "Is there not a cause?" He said, "Somebody needs to do something about this." Nobody was doing anything. They were just all in fear of this giant enemy. David's oldest brother, Eliab, he calls David over and says, "David, you're using these words, 'Is there not a cause?' And you're talking about somebody ought to shut that big guy up." His older brother, actually, I think, probably humiliates David a little bit. He says, "Hey, little brother, knock it off. Hey, little brother, you be quiet now. You weren't brought down here to fight a battle. You were brought down here to bring the snacks. Now, get the pizza out, get it delivered, and go home." Well, it didn't stop David. King Saul, that's our king, the king of God's army. King Saul tells David, "Look, David, you don't want to mess with this Goliath guy. He's a war machine." And he said, "You're just a kid and you ought to fear this man. He's a killer." David again hears Goliath, and Goliath called, you know what Goliath does? Goliath looks at David and said, "Look at that little runt. I'm going to turn you into bird food, boy." That's what he said. "I'm going to feed you to the birds of the field." Oh my. David said, "That's about it. I've had it with this guy. If nobody's going to do anything about it, I'm going to do something about it." And the Bible says that David reached down. He picked up five rocks. He had a slingshot with him. Didn't have a machine gun. Didn't have a bazooka. Didn't have an atomic bomb. He had a slingshot. He took five rocks. He put one rock in that sling. He swung it around. He and Goliath were facing one another. Here's great big old Goliath, 9 foot, 9 inches tall, a war machine, battle experience, the toughest of the tough, the champion of the champion. There's big old Goliath and little old David. Goliath had, you know, Goliath's got all of his armor and everything on, and his mighty army cheering him. There's little old David. The king had said, "David, don't go out there." His brother said, "Don't go out there. Deliver the pizza and go home." David's got his sling, got one rock in his sling, started swinging it around, let it go. The rock hurled toward Goliath, hit Goliath right between the eyes in the forehead, penetrated that thick old head, and Goliath fell. David went out, stood on top of Goliath. David didn't have a sword, so he had to take Goliath's sword, hack the giant's head off, held it up, and everybody said, "David, we knew you could do it." Yeah, right. David goes down in history as the giant killer. But let me tell you something. There were some little giants he had to defeat before he could get to the big giants. You can't win the big battles if you can't win the little battles, folks. You're not going to win the big battles of life until you learn to fight the little battles successfully. Winning the little battles of life prepares you for the bigger battles of life. David had to win a series of little battles before he became the champion over that big Goliath. And you are not going to become the champion in your life that you're supposed to be, and you're not going to defeat the big things in life if you don't get yourself to the point where you're defeating some of the little battles that we must face. You know, we don't have a big battle every week of our life, but I'll tell you all something. There are some big battles that God wants you to face. There's some big battles that God wants you to fight for Him. And if you say, "Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, I'll be ready for that big battle." There's only one way you'll be ready for the big battle, is if you are fighting the little battles with the tenacity that David fought. David fought and killed Goliath, the big giant, because he fought the little battles of life that well prepared him for the big battle. Let me show you what I mean. I believe that David had to conquer the little giant of arrogance to earn the right to conquer the big giant, Goliath. Let me read a couple verses to you. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 17, verse 17 and 18, it says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this part's corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." You know what the Bible says here? The Bible says that David was asked to take food to the battle. You understand that David is asked by his dad to be a humble little delivery boy? David's big brothers and all the men in town are fighting a great battle. They're facing an army, and David's dad says, "I want you to be a pizza delivery boy today." I'm going to guess that David had to somehow inside himself fight a certain type of an arrogance or pride to humble himself to take food down to everybody else that was swinging swords. I believe this. I believe David was not a position seeker, but an opportunity seeker. I believe that David was not looking for a position, but he just wanted to serve. I think when Daddy said, "David, I want you to take this food down to your brothers," I think David said, "I'll do anything that it takes. I just want to be a part. I don't have to have a big position. I don't have to have a big title. I don't have to be out front. You don't have to give me any rank. I'm just glad to serve." I don't think David was humiliated because he was asked to serve lunch. You see, David's pride was suppressed while he carried cheese instead of a sword. David didn't feel like delivering sandwiches was smaller than him. David didn't feel like taking that bread down there was below him. David wasn't so arrogant that when Daddy said, "I want you to go down to the battle scene, I want you to take food," David didn't say, "Wait a minute, I'm bigger than that. I deserve something more than that. I'm one of more dignity than that." No, David said, "Dad, whatever you want me to do, there's no job too small. I want to be humble. I want to be used. I want to be submissive." Folks, let me tell you something. You will not beat the Goliath in your life if you can't beat your own battle and that little battle with your pride and your arrogance. David got the battle. He came to the battle with Goliath, and he fought that great big battle, but he had the little battle with his own humility and the little battle with his own arrogance that he had to fight first. Now, I'll tell you something. There are people in here, you'd like to get to a big battle for God. You just like to do something great big for God. But if you can't do something big, you're not going to do anything at all. Well, let me tell you something. David came by way of serving in a simple, humble way. He finally found himself conquering the big Goliath. So I say to you, David had to conquer the little giant of arrogance to earn the right to conquer the big giant called Goliath. There's another little giant that I see David had to fight. Secondly, he had to conquer the little giant of his own body to earn the right to conquer the big body of the Goliath. Hear that? He had to conquer his own body. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 17:20, it says, "And David arose early in the morning, and left the sheep with the keeper." You hear that? He arose early in the morning. Notice, he made himself get up. David said to his body, "Get up. It's time to go." He had to conquer his own body, his own character, before God was going to let him conquer that great big body of Goliath. You see, I believe David had his character developed. I believe David had his body into subjection. Folks, let me explain something to you. Your body's not supposed to tell you what to do. You're supposed to tell your body what to do. Some of you let your cravings get out of hand. It's time for you to tell your cravings what to do. Don't let your cravings tell you what to do. Your body doesn't tell you when you're going to get up. You tell you when you're going to get up. Your body doesn't tell you when you want to work. You tell your body when it's supposed to work. You see, had David gotten up late on this day, it could have caused him to miss the entire battle and miss the slaying of the giant. Had David not had control of his body, and he wouldn't have made it that day, he needed to be there early, or the Bible wouldn't say anything about it. There's no uh-ohs in the Bible or mistakes in there. There's a reason why God said David got up early. David got up early. Why? There was a battle to fight. You say, was he getting up early to fight the battle of Goliath? No. He was overcoming himself. And until you can overcome yourself, you're not going to help other people overcome. And until you can overcome yourself, you're not going to fight the big battles of life successfully. If you want to do something big for God, you've got to have big character. You tell your body what to do. You tell your mouth what to say. You tell your ears what to hear. You tell your hands what to touch. You tell your feet where to go. You tell your mind what to think. You tell your eyes what they may see. You will never fight the big battles and conquer the big battles until you get your body under control. There are people here today, you would like to conquer the giants in life, but you can't even conquer yourself and get up in the morning. You let your body tell you what to do. Your body's not in charge of your brain. Your brain's in charge of your body. Little character equals little victory. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, there's a big Goliath out there. There's a battle that God wants you to fight. There's a victory that God wants you to have. There's a war God wants you to win. But you're not going to win the big war unless you do what David did. David conquered some little giants that helped him to get to the big giant in his life. He had to conquer his arrogance. He had to make sure that he was humble. He had to make sure that he had his body under control. But not only that, he had to conquer the little giant of indifference to earn the right to conquer the big giant called Goliath. Indifference? Uh-huh. Let me read verse number 26 to you. It says, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Here's what's happening. This Philistine was defying God's army, but nobody was doing anything. David gets there and he says, what in the world's going on? Why isn't somebody involved? Why isn't somebody doing something? What's the plan? Fellas, what are we going to do? How are we going to shut the big goon with iron underwear up? How are we going to get him shut up? What are we going to do about this? Nobody was doing anything. They were just watching. They were just existing. They were just there. In verse number 29, it says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? David said, look, everybody else just wants to watch. I'm going to get involved. If you're not going to do something about it, I'm going to do something about it. He didn't let other people's lack justify him not doing something. He was saying, if others are not going to care, I am. I am going to care. He didn't leave the task for somebody else to do. He didn't say, well, somebody else will witness to them. He didn't say, well, somebody else will pick them up for church. He didn't say, well, somebody else will try to reclaim the backslidden. He didn't say somebody else will love them. He didn't say somebody else will try to rebuild them. David said, is there not a cause? If everybody else just wants to sit there and watch, I'm not going to sit and watch. I'm going to get involved. And folks, you will never conquer the big Goliaths of your life if you suffer from indifference, or if we suffer from your indifference. David was not a spectator, he was a participator. He didn't sit idly by, he decided to get involved. He didn't let others carry his share of the load. He cared and he did something about it. He cared and he did what he could. You see, there was a little giant called indifference. The only way David would ever get to the historical battle with Goliath and the defeat, he had some little battles that he had to fight along the way. He had to fight that battle of indifference. But not only that, I see another little giant David had to conquer. He had to conquer the little giant of bitterness to earn the right to conquer the big giant of Goliath. Bitterness? Uh-huh. Listen to verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You know what's happening here? His older brother is rejecting him. His older brother is embarrassing him. His older brother is humiliating him. David's older brother, I believe, said this in front of people. Said, little brother, shut up. Little brother, you can't participate. You can't do it. Stay uninvolved. You've got a bad attitude about all this. You know, I'm glad that David didn't let that rejection stop him. He didn't let that rejection stop him. He didn't go home bitter in heart, wounded, whiny, have his tail between his legs and said, oh, somebody down at the war hurt my feelings. I'm not going back. Within a month, somebody here, you'll have your feelings hurt down at the church, put your tail between your legs, whine all the way home, say, I'm not going back. Well, we're not going to be calling on you to be point man at the next war that we fight then. He didn't go home with his tail between his legs, licking his wounds, feeling sorry for himself. Oh my, in this day and age, people like to party, and the biggest party thrown is our pity parties. Oh, me, mistreat me. I'm just so hurt. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat worms. Well, I'd like to make you in charge of the war that we're going into. He didn't whine because his brother didn't pat him on the head and rub his belly. He didn't get bitter and attack God and attack God's man or attack God's army. He didn't let bitterness defeat him. There are people in here, you'll never get to the battle you're supposed to get to. You're just too bitter. You're sour. David beat Goliath because David beat his own potential bitterness. His brother, the king, everybody said, you can't, you're not going to make it. I don't know what all the ways they analyzed him. And David just said, you know something? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do this no matter what anybody thinks. I'm going to do this no matter what anybody says. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to close into myself. I'm not going to run. I'm staying right here. I'm going to do something. I'm not going to be backed off. I won't shut up. I won't be shut down. I'm going to fight the battle. Yeah. Wasn't whining around, feeling sorry for himself, looking for a way to run from the battle. He wasn't trying to get out. He was trying to get in. Your bitterness is keeping you away from the real battle. Some of you got bitterness going on in you about something that really shouldn't even ought to be there. You know what it's going to do? Someday it'll shut you down. You'll no longer be a bus captain. You'll no longer be a Sunday school teacher. You'll no longer be a leader in the church. And we never did get you to the big battle because you let the little battle of your feelings getting hurt keep you from fighting the big battle. You see, you want to fight the big battles, you're going to have to get past these little things. Anybody that's been in the church any time at all, you know about these little battles. You know about those little battles. That little battle of our pride or our arrogance that must be defeated. That little battle of conquering our own bodies and bringing our body into subjection. That little battle of indifference where we let somebody else do it. We don't want to get involved or we don't want to stay involved. But we think we've paid our dues. We've served God long enough. Nobody served God long enough. We got to fight that little battle of bitterness that could creep in and steal our spirit, steal our attitude, turn us on the cause of Christ. Then he had to conquer the little giant of fear to earn the right to conquer the big giant of Goliath. Fear. Fear. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He a man of war from his youth. You know what the king told him? He said, son, you're a boy. He's a brute. You ought to be afraid. David did not let fear paralyze him. Yes, sir. There are people in here, you're paralyzed. You're paralyzed by fear. You don't get to the big battles and have victory if you can't get past the little battles. There are some little things that cause you an unhealthy fear. He didn't let fear of defeat stop him. Now think about it. Was he outnumbered? Yes. Was he outpowered? Yes. Was he afraid? No. And even if he was, he didn't act upon it. He didn't let the fear of embarrassment stop him. Could have David been defeated? Yes. Did it stop him? No. Could have David been embarrassed? Yes. Did it stop him? No. He didn't let the fear of failure stop him. Could have he failed? Yes. Did it stop him? No. He could have let the fear of humiliation stop him. Did it stop him? No. He could have let the fear of something new. See, he had never fought a Goliath before. This was all new to him. There's some of you. You say, Brother Owens, I want to get involved in the church, but it's all new to me. Don't let fear stop you. Folks, there are some big giants that God wants to use you to conquer. But if you can't conquer the little giant of that little fear, you say, I'm afraid to get up in front of people. I understand that. We'll try to help break you in, but I'm going to tell you something. You got to stop being so afraid of people that you don't try to reach people and help people. You got to get past that fear. There's some things that God wants you to do. There's some Goliaths in life that need to be conquered. He didn't let the fear of death stop him. I hate the thought of it, folks, but you know, if our world, if our nation gets worse and worse, there's a chance they might start putting Christians to death again. And those of you that can't take that touch of humiliation because somebody teased you in the hallway at church, so you're not coming back, I can picture you holding up under death sentence real well. Had fear stopped him, he would have never slain the historical giant. Folks, fear has robbed many people of the biggest victories in life. Don't let emotion stop you. Did you know something that you and God make a mighty army? So, David ends up fighting Goliath. But before he ever fought that big giant, had victory over that big giant, the miracle intervention of God, he had to fight some little battles. He had to fight the little battles. He had to fight that little battle of being humble, and that little battle of making sure his body was under control, and that little battle of indifference, and that little battle of bitterness, and that little battle of fear. But not only that, he had to conquer that little giant, or that little battle of ridicule, to earn the right to conquer the big battle, or to win the big battle of Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, verse 43 and 44, listen to this. This is what, the Philistine is mocking David, it says. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowl of the air and to the beasts of the field. David said, I'm going to turn you, or Goliath said to David, I'm going to turn you into bird feed. He said, am I a dog? He said, why are you sending this little boy out to fight a great man like me? Goliath verbally attacked David. You say, what did David say? David said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Some of those scriptures are hard to quote. Goliath verbally attacked David, but David did not run. You see, David was facing ridicule, but he didn't let ridicule stop him. Do people who don't love God scare you out of doing what you know is right? Look, if you can't fight the little battle of ridicule daily, how are you going to face it when you face the giant of Goliath in life? Do people's words intimidate you away from God's purpose? If you love God, you're going to be ridiculed. If you love pizza, you can get it at church. Say, what are you talking about? The rule is here, your cell phone goes off in my church service, you have to buy me a pizza. Listen, folks, if you separate from the world will ridicule you. Did you know that even weak Christians will mock and tease good Christians? You young people, if somebody's ridiculing you, if they're giving you a hard time because you're separated and you mean it, and you're living for God and you mean it, and somebody's mocking you, let me tell you something. That's battle preparation. You take your stand. Don't you apologize. You stand for what's right. You're going to fight a bigger battle someday, and you are in boot camp. Take your stand. Take the ridicule. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for God. There are bigger battles on the horizon. David said, call me names, you mock me, you make fun of me. In just a moment, we're going to settle this thing. Not only that, after all of this, finally, David comes to the point where he's now going to fight the giant. I don't know what the giant is in your life, but everybody has one. Everybody has one. You say, but the ones I like to make sure that when the big giant comes to me, I'm going to be all handling. Then you better handle the little giants. If you can't handle the little giants, the big giant's going to take you to the cleaner, buddy. 1 Samuel 17:50, we see that David made it through the series of little giants in life. He is then ready to face the big giant of Goliath, and it says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. You know what David did? David took the giant's sword and hacked off his head. It's kind of a bummer when somebody beats you with your own stick. But he'd been trained well. David had fought all the little battles. Every little battle David faced prepared him for the big battle. It was preparation. See, you don't get to fight the world champion without bouts with the little contenders from time to time. It's victory in the little areas that brings victory in the big ones. You say, Brother Owens, I want to build a big bus route someday. Then you better do all the little things right. I want to have a big day on my bus route. Then make sure all those other days are done right. You say, I want to build a big Sunday school class someday. Then you're going to have to do the little things right. The little things right. You don't build a church. You don't build a bus route. You don't build a Sunday school class off of big days. You build it off all the other days. Staying after it. 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 Do the little things right. The little things right. Do the little things right. Fight the little battles properly. Say, I want to preach at some big conference someday, Brother Owens. Well, I'll tell you something. I believe every time you step in the pulpit, it's big. I don't think there are any little meetings or any little sermons. But I will tell you this. You better make sure you say, I'd like to preach to a big crowd someday. I'd like to preach. I've heard you tell stories of preaching to 7,000 and 8,000 and preach at the conferences around the nation. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you one thing for sure that you got to do. When you're preaching to a crowd of 2, or a crowd of 3, or a crowd of 5, or a crowd of 12, you go ahead and give everything that you've got. You preach with everything you have, all your energy. Give it your best, whether it's a big day or a little day. Those of you that are visitors tonight, you say, Brother Owens, boy, this is a special night. You're all wound up. I'm excited to see you preach like this. It's this way all the time. I go out and preach at a church of 20. I give it everything I've got. Tonight I'm drenched underneath. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. But I'll promise you something. I can go to preach to 15 people, and at the end of the night, I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I've spent myself. I gave myself. Why in the world would God give you a big crowd if you won't take care of the little crowd that you have? See, I want to have a great family. Then I'd give attendance to the little things. Those little things, those dates that your marriage needs and the common courtesy that your family needs and the attention to the little child-rearing issues. Not just the big things, as we would call them. Say, I want to make a big impact for Christ financially. And let me ask you, where is the Russell Anderson of the next generation? Where are those men that God would like to bless financially and use them as a conduit to bless churches and bless the cause of Christ? I'll tell you this, though. I'd like to have a lot of money. Well, you can't handle what little bit you have. Why should he give you a lot? If you can't conquer the little financial battles, why would God ever give you big financial opportunity? Say, I would like to be strong financially. Then you better tithe on every little thing God gives you. You nitpick with God over your giving, and then you expect God to bless you in a big way. Maybe God ought to nitpick on your blessing. The thing that'll keep a church strong when the big battles come is if they handle the little battles properly. I was reading and looking through the story of David and Goliath. I've always loved this story. Love it. Love it. I remember David talking to King Saul, said, one day I fought a bear, one day I fought a lion. I thought, there's some pre-battles that prepared David. Then I really got to looking at the story and I realized over and over again, David fought the little battles well. That's why God gave him the victory and the opportunity of the big battle. There's some of you, you're not going to handle the big battle well. You're not even handling the little ones well. Some of you that are here at night church, thank you for coming tonight. Let me tell you something. You ought to be here every Sunday night. You say, well, it's hard. Well, we wouldn't want you to do anything hard, would we? There are people in here, your faithfulness is pathetic. You're not going to be a real warrior used to do much of anything. Because your faithfulness to the little things proves to me whether or not you can handle the big things. I pick people that are faithful to the little things to handle the big wars. They've proven to me that they are in preparation.
Well, you give me this big opportunity and I'll take it.
Show up for the little opportunities, buddy. I'm not impressed with people that won't show up to the little opportunities. It is the little opportunity and the little war that proves what you'll do in the big war. And so, David fought the little giants, which gave him the power, the strength, and the blessing of God when he faced the big giant. I want all of you to survive the big giant. So I recommend you get to work on the little wars. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you died tonight, you say, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. You ought to come this evening and let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. I'm not talking about getting religion. I'm talking about getting saved. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about getting saved. If you're not saved, I wish you'd come tonight. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, if I died tonight, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be born again. I see hands. I see more hands. If you're not saved, you come tonight. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Some of you have been saved and never made it public. Some of you, maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. You ought to come tonight. Somebody here ought to join fellowship with the church. Somebody here, you're fighting. Maybe you got a little battle on your hands, but you're not giving it the attention that it needs. You fix that thing. Fix those little things. Those little things will destroy you. Don't let things go. There's some of you, I can't believe the attitude that you have developed. The attitude that you have developed. And you better get that thing. You better get that bitterness out of there. You better get that out of there. That's going to ruin you. Somebody needs the altar tonight to adjust your thinking. If you do, the altar will be open. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar tonight, you come. You come. If you're not saved, come. Let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, why don't you come? If you've been saved and never been baptized, why don't you come? Why don't you come? The key to victory in the big areas is to have victory in the smaller areas. David fought Goliath. David beat Goliath. But David climbed through the battlefield of the little battles of his own character, his own humility, the possibility of bitterness. He climbed through indifference. He said, I'm going to the big battle, but I see I must fight these little ones along the way. And had David not taken care of those little battles, he would have never conquered Goliath. You look at every one of those. They were steps that David had to go through. If you were asked to do some little task, would you say, oh no, I'd be humiliated to do that. You're never going to get to the big battle if you won't deliver food to the troops. You need to get your body under control, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, your mind, your feet, your hands. David got up early. He had himself under control. He was not indifferent. He wasn't waiting for somebody else to do it. He said, I want to get involved and make a difference. He could have been bitter, but he chose not to be. He was humiliated and embarrassed. He didn't let fear stop him. He didn't let ridicule stop him. He got to fight the big giant. He got to conquer the big giant. Not because of himself, but because of his obedience to the Scripture. If you're not saved, why don't you come? Let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and it's never been made public, why don't you come? If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you come? Keep singing, choir. Yes, keep singing, choir. There are people yet coming. The altar's still open. Sunday night that will keep you away from church. Now look, you're going to face some big battles in life. You need the energy and the strength to be faithful to church. You need to be here. Be here next Sunday night. It will prepare you for the bigger battles of life. One more time, choir. Give me one more verse. They're still coming. Some churches only use the first verse of an invitation song and they go home. We're using them all. Songwriters like it around here. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. You can have a seat.